Have you ever stopped what you were doing and just thought, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Doing a roofing project at my home church in Phoenix, Arizona, me and another guy were up there laying shingles, and we got to visiting a little too much. Weren't paying attention. And we looked back after several courses, and we noticed that our course had a dip in it instead of being straight. Ugh. And then you don't just tear out the shingles, you just have to compensate with the future courses and straighten that back out again. Well, what a lot of roofers do to prevent that is after every several courses of shingles, they stop and they snap a chalk line. And then they go by the straightness of that line and they'll lay a few more courses and do it again. And that's how they stop and refrain, so that they stay on course. You know, that ladies' advance or something like that, it's a retreat. That's the whole purpose of these retreats, is so that we as Christians will just stop and take a breath, examine what we're doing so that we stay on course, right? And every now and then you have to do that spiritually. When you stop and take stock in what you're doing for the Lord, you will affirm why you're doing it. Well, in his instructions to Pastor Timothy, the Apostle Paul does exactly that right here in verses 7 through 10 of chapter 2. He stops what he's doing. He's been given a big dissertation, remember? He used an illustration, as we saw last week, three illustrations of the soldier and the athlete and the farmer, and how to hold tough and hang on and stand fast. And now he's going to stop all of that instruction and just take a breather. And in so doing, he's going to give two imperatives, two commands on how you stop and take stock. Stop and think. If I take my tie off, this podium's going to crack, or the windows are going to shatter, or something's going to give. Will you mind if I lose the jacket? I hope that's not a problem. Let's take a look at verse 7, imperative number 1. He says, remember, he's stopping his dissertation here, and he stops and says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. What's the command or the imperative in that verse? There's only one command there. What is it? Consider. Consider. And it means to, just means to contemplate and dwell on that which is right in front of you, on that which you've just been given. Stop and look at it. Okay? You know, by that definition, we actually do consider a lot of things. We spend a lot of time in consideration. We consider all of our worries, an awful lot. You might consider your new job possibility. Consider your new house. Does that not take a lot of time of your thinking when you get a new house? 23 years ago, in my college library, I considered Naomi so much I couldn't think straight until I went over and asked her out. Right? You know, a lot of things just occupy the brain, don't they? And you consider so much. But the command that Paul gave Pastor Timothy was, to consider what I say. Now, what has the Apostle Paul been saying all this time? Folks, he's been saying the Word of God. He's been preaching the Word to Timothy. You got to remember, the Bible wasn't finished yet. The Apostle Paul was speaking the Bible and writing it down and sending those letters off. But it was the Word of God nonetheless. We just have the written Word. But Paul gave the spoken Word of God. So he's telling Timothy, consider the Word. Consider the Word of God. You'd be surprised at how many times in the pit of turmoil and agony and pain and whatever's causing you worry and frustration, if you will stop and spend just some time reflecting on the Word of God that's been given to you, how that will allow you to take stock and get yourself together again and start going forward. The Word does this. And this applies to me too. You think I don't have anxieties? I just don't show it. I have anxieties, and things bother me, and things want to prey on my mind too, and I have sleepless nights, okay? And there are times when I got to stop and just consider the Word of God. Started to feel a little anxious today. Lost my middle son. You usually lose them when they're 3, not when they're 16, okay? He was with the alts. He just didn't tell us. You know, we're walking around. What, did he fall down the stairs? Is he laying down? Can't, you know, unconscious somewhere? All kinds of things prey upon your mind. And then, you think of what Sid's going through. And and you think of, you know, Bob and Peeny Armstrong, and you know, like it was set up here. People have pain. Kathy's right. People are hurting. People struggle, and we all do from time to time. And you got to stop what you're doing. Consider the Word of God. And you know, there's always something new in the Word that you didn't know was there before. And the more you study it, the more you realize, I really don't know near as much as I think I do. Because God's always got a new nugget of truth. But you know, when you stop and consider the Word, you can also experience the result of having done so. Look at the rest of verse 7. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Now that word may the Lord give you, that's actually a misleading translation of the original language. The actual statement is an affirmative that says, and God will give you understanding. When you stop and consider God's word, Christian, you will get understanding. Do you know that? That doesn't mean you're going to understand everything. Peter himself said that Paul wrote some things that are really hard to understand. That's true. And there's all kinds of things to study and grapple with. But when you need understanding for living life, God gives it if you'll consider his word. It's there for you. The word applies. If the Bible does not apply to our lives, then why did God give it to us? The Bible wasn't written so that scholars with PhDs in theology can debate in their offices about the deep things of Scripture. That's not why God wrote the Word of God. God wrote the Word of God so people like you and I can consider it, so we can get up in the morning and go on with life. That's why he wrote it, and we have it. Imperative number 2 is found in verse 8. It says, well, let me read it. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. What's the imperative or the command in that text? Remember! Whereas to consider is to contemplate the word that's just been given to you. To remember here is to call to mind that which you already know. And what do you already know according to this text? Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, he was talking to Jews, and they knew their Jewish history. Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel or my good news. He's saying, remember the gospel. And we saw that this morning in our baptism service. Remember the cross. Listen, if Jesus Christ didn't have to come to the cross in order for you to spend eternity in heaven, he wouldn't have. If there was any other way for you to make peace with God and earn your salvation and be good enough, then Christ would not have come to the cross. But Christ did come to the cross because that's the only way. Folks, we got to consider that, and we got to remember that. Now, do you notice how he calls it, again, he makes it very personal. He says, according to my gospel. Well, the reason Paul called it that is because it was the gospel, the only gospel that the apostle Paul preached, and thus he claimed it as his own. This was his gospel. Don't be offset when people refer to your God in a derogatory way. Okay? Don't let that rattle you. So you don't think homosexuality is right because your God has a problem with that. Anybody ever say anything like that to you? Your God. That used to rattle me. It doesn't anymore. They're right. He's my God. I claim Jesus Christ as my God. I claim the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who gave me this perfect word and who gave me that wonderful gospel message. He's my God. And for the one who's derogatory, you know what? He could be yours too. Yeah, he's my God. And this is my gospel. It is this gospel that saved me. It is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, died, buried, and rose again, that's given me eternal life. You bet that's mine, because I have nothing else to claim for eternity but my Savior. And so Paul calls it his gospel. Now, why must you constantly stop and take stock in the gospel? Because remember, he's talking to Pastor Timothy. This is Pastor Timothy here, who Paul says, remember the gospel. Now, doesn't that seem odd to you to say to a pastor, hey, you know what, remember call to mind the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you have to tell that to a pastor? Absolutely. All Christians need to call this to mind. Why? Well, it's not only because the gospel of Jesus Christ gave you new life, but it's also because the gospel of Jesus Christ sustains your new life. The reason you can get up in the morning and face another day and live for the Lord Jesus Christ is because of what he did on the cross. See, you don't just come to the cross when you get saved and then leave it there and wait for eternity. You gotta come to the cross each and every day. And say, I can go forward because Christ paid not only for my eternal life, he paid for how I can live my life. He made that possible to glorify him. How did he do that? On the cross. The gospel affects your everyday life. Christians are not allowing the gospel to transform them. See, he died on the cross to give you eternal life, but he also died on the cross to sanctify you in how you live your life. Sanctification is a daily process of being transformed into our Savior and being more like him. And that is each and every day. The gospel makes that possible. The gospel transforms your life. And so he told Pastor Timothy, remember. Now, there are some real wonderful results that you experience from that. What do you experience from that? Well, verse 9, it says, Paul says, for which I suffer. The gospel of Jesus Christ here is the reason he suffers. He says, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. You know, one of the results of remembering the gospel and living it is suffering. Yeah, suffering. Paul's pointed this out before. You suffer when you serve for the Lord. It's a lie to tell people, you know, if you trust Christ, all your problems will go away. No, they won't. You're going to bring on problems you didn't have before, but make no mistake, you're going to have problems either way. But the problems of serving the Lord pale compared to the problems of rejecting the Lord. So, that you suffer. You'll suffer as an evildoer, as if somehow you're the one in the wrong. Christian, you stand on the word of God in this day and age, in this world. It's always been this way, but we're seeing it even more in our own country. You stand on the word of God, you will be looked at as the evildoer. And in a big way. An example that I wrote down, is did an internet search. Do you remember that painting? I think it came out early 70s. It appears to be a downtown, maybe New York City, tall building, you know, busy street, and a tall Jesus Christ, kind of faded, knocking on the building. You know, it was a Christian's rendition of Jesus Christ knocks on the heart of people. Okay, I remember seeing this when I was a kid. Look it up. I think it's called The Peacemaker. I think is the title of that painting. And I looked that up, and I read one of the comments that somebody wrote on that painting. And this is what it says. This person had this to say. The unspoken message of the picture is that Jesus wants to help so badly, but he just won't unless members become Christians or start doing the harmful things to society that the Christian right wants them to, like relegating gay people to the role of second-class citizens. The message is that their loving, there it is, their God, your God, the message is that your loving God is a God who will alleviate suffering, but only conditionally, as if he values worship over kindness. There are so many theological holes in that paragraph, that's a whole sermon unto itself. But that's what happens when people who do not know the Lord attack you for standing on the word of the Lord. They treat you like you're an evildoer, like you're the one doing something wrong when all you're doing is humbling yourself before God Almighty and saying, I want to live in obedience to him. Keep that in mind. This is why you got to remember the gospel, because at the end of your life, you're not going to face those who mistreat you. You're going to face Jesus Christ who so loves you. And so you suffer. That's one of the results of remembering and living the gospel. But there's another result. And he goes on in verse 10, therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. you know, not only do you experience suffering, but you know what else you experience when you live for the gospel? You experience motivation. Motivation. You notice Paul did not say in verse 10 that he just endured for the sake of the Lord only. It says he endured for the sake of people whom he served in the name of the Lord. The elect. He endures this suffering for their sake. When a Christian is constantly complaining about his brothers or sisters in Christ, he's a brother who's not remembering the gospel too often. As Naomi pointed out, he's bruising the body of Christ. You show me somebody who's just constantly complaining about people, about Christians, other brothers and sisters, I guarantee that's an individual who's not spending a lot of time just thinking about the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ who gives eternal life. You cannot spend time thinking and thanking the Lord for the cross and at the same time complain about all your brothers and sisters who share in the Christian life with you. The two just don't go hand in hand. Paul endured all that for the sake of people. He loved people rather than criticize them. But you notice that Paul was specifically motivated to endure all things for the sake of the elect. That is, not only though, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're elect, but the elect also refers to those who don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, but will. That motivated him. That motivated him because he knew God elected those and they will accept the Lord. It was a joy for Paul to go out there and just find them. You know, it's easy to give up on fishing. You know why a lot of fishermen or a lot of people do not catch fish? It's not necessarily because they're using the wrong lure or the wrong bait or they're fishing at the wrong time of day. Or you know, a lot of what it is because they don't have any patience and they don't stick with it. That's why a lot of people don't catch fish. You know, this is the most boring thing. I've been out here, you know, a half hour. Nothing's happened. I'm calling this done. See, that's why I like fly fishing. You don't just sit there. Okay, when you're fly fishing, you're busy. You're constantly busy whipping that thing around, pulling your lure out of your back, out of the trees, getting unhooked from the... But you got stuff to do the whole time you're on the lake. So I stay out there on the lake and on the waters more. Well, the Apostle Paul was a great fisher of men. Because if you go fishing, the successful fisher is the one that knows, if I do this enough, these fish got to eat. Sooner or later, they're going to bite. If I know the fish are there, sooner or later, I'm going to catch something. Well, folks, the elect are out there. And if you get out there and you share the gospel, sooner or later, someone's going to bite. I'm here because somebody went fishing and was just constantly sharing the gospel, and I was one of them, and I bit. He was patient. He was patient, and I know the Lord Jesus Christ because Pastor Dwight Wise in 1984 was a very good fisher of men. He just stuck with it. He heard a whole lot of no's before he heard me say, yes, I believe Jesus Christ. Well, that motivated Paul too. If you know the elect are out there, man, just share the Lord. You'll find them eventually, but you gotta speak. It's like Pastor Dave Little always says, you know, if we don't reach them, then some other denomination with weak doctrine will. So we better get out there and just start sharing the gospel so that people will accept Christ. And that'll motivate you. And he was motivated by such things. So, you know, it is a joy to just every now and then stop, take a breath, consider the word that you've been given, think about it, meditate on it. Remember the gospel of Jesus Christ by which you are saved. And you will find, yeah, suffering as a result, but that tends to toughen you up, make you stronger and more faithful. But you'll also find the blessing of motivation. For the sake of people, you serve Jesus Christ by serving people. It's a joy to serve the Lord by serving you here at Open Door Baptist Church. And so many of you are experiencing that joy as well. If you are not experiencing the joy of service, hey, then listen to what Paul had to say to you tonight. Listen to what God had to say to you through the Apostle Paul. Consider, Remember. If you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you still haven't accepted the fact that he died and rose for you and he's the only way, what's to stop you? Don't let any human argument stop you. Don't let Satan put thoughts in your head. Just simply turn to the Lord and say, by faith, I believe that your son died and rose for me, and I accept that as the only way to have life with you. Thank you for saving me. You tell God something like that. Scripture is very clear that he will save you and you'll have peace with God forevermore. No one can ever take that from you. Father in heaven, we praise you again for giving us the scriptures. We have the completed Bible. We thank you for giving us your son. We have complete salvation because of Jesus Christ and what he did. Lord, as we think about this in our closing song, may it cause us to stop and just remember him so that it affects the way we live when we get up tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.